On this episode, we're sharing the tea. Have we lost money investing in real estate this year? Just how much did we invest in the stock market? And are we millionaires or nah? Stay tuned. What's going on, everybody? This is Marcus, and I'm here with my lovely wife,
Shira.
And we would like to welcome you to the year-end episode of the Black Married and Debt-Free podcast. You know what I'm saying? We appreciate the applause. Thank you. Thank you very much.
And I think that applause is also for the audience. And
yes.
The folks who have been hanging with us for this year and hopefully yes. beyond. We appreciate y'all.
We really appreciate you guys. And gals. Shire doesn't like me to say guys. Let me let you all in behind the scenes. Shire doesn't like for me to say guys. She's been telling me for how many years now?
It's been a while.
Marcus, don't say guys because there's lady listeners. You can't just... So, guys and gals. That's all I'll do. But yes, thank you guys so much for...
Then he does it again. I'm sorry.
Sorry. I'll see you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for... showing up to the podcast. We value your ears. We value your time.
Yes.
Man, everybody is dropping podcasts now. And, you know, I'm a podcast consumer because I work so much and I need background noise. Mm-hmm. But there's so many podcasts, I'd be like, and I ain't going to be able to get to this one, man. I mean, everybody is starting podcasts, doing multiple episodes a week. So when you're able to listen to somebody... That's valued. So
yes.
We want to thank you guys and gals for listening to the Black Married and Debt-Free podcast over these years. All right. So thank you. I like that, Shire. Thank you for that. This is a year-end episode where we're letting the tea, as much as we feel comfortable, we're letting the tea drop, right? We're going to be telling you all how our year was. Fiscally, you know what I'm saying? And with real estate investing, how did that go? So we're going to give you guys all the stuff you want to know. Because part of this, Shire, and I'm going to let you talk. I know I'm talking, I'm ranting. I just had some coffee. Part of this is, why should I listen to y'all? Are y'all subject matter experts, right? Did y'all just grab two microphones and start running y'all's mouth? Sometimes we got to, and it's not for boasting purposes, but it's to... it's to show your resume, show your work. You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of what this is too, for maybe new listeners. That's like, why do I need to listen to y'all? Y'all ain't, who is y'all? Well, we're going to tell you some of the things that we're doing and we like to share what we've done. So it's like showing your resume. Shire, what's your thoughts?
Yes, but I also think that it's like educational. Like
yes.
I feel that the level of detail into our finances that we're going to share is not typical for most podcasts.
Right.
It's not typical for the internet. Mm-hmm. And it's not to be braggadocious in any way, but to just really talk about real life.
Yeah, we just talk about real life.
Some of the challenges, mm-hmm. and what it really looks like to be a real estate investor. And then yes. also, of course, we're... contributing to our 401k, mm-hmm. and just talking about that experience as well.
Absolutely. Shire, before we get into that, how was your Christmas? How was the Christmas season for you? Let's kind of do that thing there. You know, people want to know.
Christmas was so busy.
Man, this felt like the busiest Christmas ever.
Yeah, I don't think that we've had a Christmas like this in years.
Yes.
And I think that COVID,
since COVID.
Yeah, I think COVID mm-hmm. has something to do with it because a lot of the gatherings slowed down. Mm-hmm. During COVID, I mean, our son had COVID on Christmas Day last year. Marcus was recovering from COVID. And so this year, everything was in full swing. There were so many houses we needed to visit.
Yes.
Family, in-laws. And I love seeing everyone. Mm-hmm. But
it was great to see everyone. You're right.
Yes, but I was exhausted. We did not get home from... everyone's house. We went to two different houses, right?
Yes, Christmas Day.
I'm sorry about that. We didn't get home till like 7, and yes. I was exhausted, and so I'm going to rethink.
Yes.
What Christmas looks like, and hopefully find a way to have at least time for our immediate family before running everywhere.
Yeah.
But I love to see, I love spending time with family. Oh, man.
If I could snap my fingers and just see them all once, that would be ideal.
Just come to our house.
Yeah, just that would just be ideal. But we're operating with, literally, we're operating with three totally different families, because Shira's family is one, four different families. Our immediate household, that's one, right? Then we got Shira's side of the family.
Yes.
And my side of the family is broken up into two large families.
I would say three. I would say the gathering with just your parents.
Right.
Then your mom's side.
Right.
And then your dad's side.
So we're talking five families at this point.
It was a lot, y'all.
It was a lot.
But we hope. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah. We hope you enjoyed your Christmas season. Your New Year's is still approaching, but we're creeping up on New Year. So.
Yeah, definitely excited for that.
Yes. All right, Shira, where do we start? Let's tell all of our business. Now, this is for family only, y'all. So, like, we do this because we value your, like I said on the front end, you being a part of the Black Married and Debt-Free family. So, this is only for family business. So, if you're not family, you can go on and head and exit.
No.
Now.
No. Well, I think we have been planning to do this podcast for a while. Mm-hmm. I think we did it last year.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, let's do it again this year.
Yes.
And then earlier today, we did an interview.
Yes.
With, I guess it was Scripps.
Scripps News. They have like a lot of stations based in Chicago, but they have a lot of stations in Atlanta, all over really. And they wanted to know about real estate investing and projections for 2024. So
yeah, it was basically like, should you invest in 2024, and what are some things that you need to consider? And so that was how we started our day, was with that conversation.
Yes. It was such a great combo.
It was good.
It's like, get your blood flowing and talking about something you're very interested in. And so we said, let's do the podcast. So we're also going to share some of the things we shared on that, along with how our year went. As far as, let's start with the real estate side, Shira, because that's what a lot of people are interested in. How did it go for us last year with repairs? What did we bring home? And these numbers are going to be new to me, guys, because Shira's over there on her little laptop punching the numbers. So I don't know how the year ended up for us. I know what our projections were, but let's hear it, Shira. Where do you want to start?
Well, you said you wanted to start with real estate. That's fine.
Or do you want
to
save that, Shira? Is that something you want to? Okay.
No, I think that will take the bulk of the time.
Okay.
I do want to say, y'all hope that we make it on television. I mean, you do interviews, and then sometimes you just don't know what happens to them. But if we make it on television, we'll share the link, right?
Yes, okay. We will share the link.
So we'll let y'all know in the next episode.
Yes.
If we made it. We should know by then. Okay, so taking a look at our real estate journey for 2023, as most of you know, we have five properties, so I kind of look at us as like a small mom and pop investors, having less than 10.
Yes. Did we we made no acquisitions in 2023, I'm guessing, correct?
No, we didn't buy any real estate.
All right.
Listen, the interest rates were just way too high, and we just really focused our efforts and just investing in our employer-offered 401k.
Mm-hmm.
But back to real estate. How did it go for us? What did the year look like?
Yes.
And as a recap, as I shared, we have five properties. We have two in North Carolina. We have three in Alabama. So let's talk about North Carolina for a moment. So North Carolina, we have two properties that did, I would say we didn't have very many issues.
Mm-mm.
I think that you shared that each house that we own had some sort of repair.
Yes.
But in North Carolina, I would say those are our gems. I'm so glad that we started there.
Mm-hmm.
We are in a small town outside of Charlotte, about an hour outside of Charlotte. And those houses both rented for $1,350 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that those went well.
Yeah, those went well. The one piece of news I have on one is that a tenant wanted to go month to month, right?
Yes.
So we got reached out and said, tenant would like to go month to month. And that's not ideal for us. We like 6 months to a year. Shoot.
Yes, give me 2 year lease. You know what I'm saying? Commitment.
So our knee jerk was like, no. But I said, let me ask Shire first. Shire's always got a balanced view. She's like, yeah, we can do the month to month. And the reason why this person wanted, because they're planning on potentially moving at some point and they don't want to get locked in. So I was like, shoot, you start weighing your options. And so Shire's like, let's go month to month, but we need to assess that rent. And
yes.
Go up, right?
Well, ask the
property manager what she think. Is this a good time to go up? Has the rents increased? So she reached back out to us and said, actually, the rents have dropped in the area. So
don't go up.
So don't go up. And you'd be smart to go with the month to month, or he's going to just get up out of there.
Yeah.
And so that's the one thing that I guess is not a great thing for one of the homes in North Carolina.
Yeah. And I guess it'll be a test run. Like, we've never gone month to month with a tenant. So
she said he's a good tenant and keeps the property really great. Okay. She did say that.
See, that's why you have to have a good property manager, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. Who's local to the area. It's a small town. And I think the town is small enough for the property manager to check on the properties.
Yes.
You know, I remember one of the properties that we purchased, she's like, oh, my brother used to live down the street.
Yes.
You know, so it's small enough for you to like keep an eye on all of your rentals. Mm-hmm. And so with that feedback, you know, someone's taking care of the home, you don't want to just throw them out to the wind.
Right.
So I'm glad that we went the route that we went. And I think next year we'll be able to have an update on what ultimately happened with that tenant and if this is something that we do in the future.
Yes.
So I think moving on to Alabama, I feel like this year we got some requests this year that were new to us.
Yes.
And one of the requests was there was a tenant who wanted to purchase the home from us. So can you share about that?
Yeah. We got reached out to by our property manager in Alabama, and they said one of the tenants wants to know, do you want to sell the home? So we start, you know, thinking about it, and we definitely didn't want to, but we was like, well, let's just see, like, what could we get it for? I don't even know if we got to the point where they made us a number, Shire. Did we get there?
No.
Oh, we didn't. Okay. So we decided no, you know. And unfortunately, that tenant ended up leaving.
Yeah.
Right? And I'm going to keep it all the way real with y'all. When last time I was in Alabama, I drove past that property and the tenant had a nice car.
Marcus.
They had a nice car. So I was like, oh, man, that's obviously a good tenant. Well, hopefully signs of a good tenant.
I think they were a great tenant, but they're also thinking about their financial future. Mm-hmm. And I think it doesn't hurt to ask if you're living somewhere and you want to buy it. You could be at a time
mad at them. Yeah, that was
exactly
a good move. But they said, well, hey, we're going to leave. And so they end up leaving, which left. And that property has a brand new freaking roof. So that's a good house. But they end up leaving. And so we had a 2 month vacancy.
Yes.
Two-month vacancy. We tried to list it for what the tenant left.
What they were paying,
right? And it just sat on the market for a while. And then our guy said, you know, we should get it under school to give numbers.
Yeah.
Okay. We were trying to list it for $850. And he said we should list it for like $790 just to give the allure that it's a lot less. So we did that, and it sold in like 2 days.
You said sold.
I'm sorry, not sold. Leased in like 2 days.
Okay.
So, yep, that was that.
Well, we should talk about that a little bit more, because when you get into real estate investing, you are projecting your rent to go up each year that you have the property. So I think that the fact that we had to drop it really speaks to that area that we invested in. And also just the rental market. I mean, that's two instances. Yes. One in North Carolina, where she said, don't raise it.
Yep.
It's already
dropping.
It's dropping here locally. And then in Alabama, they're like, nope, you can't get it. Yesterday's price is not today's price. It's actually lower. And so that's just not something that you usually think about happening.
Right.
when you are getting into this arena.
Yes.
And I will say that I don't think we were open to selling the house because we hadn't had it very long.
Right.
I need to get something out of it before, you know, we take a step to sell. And these interest rates are crazy. So it's not like we would have been able to necessarily sell it and upgrade to a higher quality property just because the interest rates are so high.
Yeah. And guys and gals, we're going to show you later on what we owe on these houses.
Yes.
And you just don't sell stuff like this. I mean, for what we owe and what we're getting in rent, you don't sell it unless you need a make me sell kind of price.
Yeah. Like,
you know what I mean? But so that was with that property there.
Yeah. And so also we had another tenant in Alabama where they were renewing their lease.
Mm-hmm.
And we wanted, the property manager wanted to go up. You know,
yes,
they didn't talk to us first. They wanted to go up.
Yes.
They went to the tenant and said, hey, you want to renew your lease? This is the new rental amount.
Yeah. Which I ain't mad at them for. I like that.
Right.
I like how they were proactive in that.
Yes. So the property manager, they get 10% of the gross rent.
Yes.
So just so you all know. Mm-hmm. So if the rent goes up, they benefit from that.
Right.
So they went to this tenant and the tenant said what?
Refresh my memory.
Oh, okay. I'm about to refresh the memory. I'm going to refresh it right now. Okay. So the tenant said they could not afford the increase. And so you called me at work.
Yes.
Yes. You called me at work and you gave me the story.
Oh, okay. I remember.
And you were like, you know what? This tenant, they can't afford the increase. You know,
let's get them up out of there and get, you know what I mean? Let's get some more money. Was that my?
That was your energy. Yes. But as we had the conversation, we ended on the same page.
Yes.
And that was, guess what? I don't think that now is a good time for us to have a vacancy.
It's going to have a vacancy. The property manager most likely is going to crack you upside the head
on
repairs.
Yeah, when they leave.
So when you looked at the year's income for that property, you're going to be...
You might be in the red. You might be in the hole. And we're just saying that because we know our property manager in Montgomery, they have standards for their properties.
They've stepped up their standards, which is a shout out to them. But unfortunately, a lot of that falls on us as the owners. Hey, we want to update this. We want each room
to have
has to have ceiling fans. So now you got to run electrical. You got to do this. Hey, this isn't up to standard. It's like, that's cool that y'all upping y'all standards, but why didn't y'all do that from the jump?
Yes.
So we didn't want to go through all that. If there's tenants in there and the tenant is loving the house, you don't have to go in and do a bunch of repairs for the next person to rent it out.
You know
what I mean? So the goal is to keep the person in there. Y'all can live in that house forever as long as you're paying the rent.
Yeah. And I told Marcus, you know, this could be a problem later on. Say rents do go up in the area and we want to be competitive with the market. And so maybe in the future, we'll have to have a tough conversation. But for now, we figured that
it's best to let them stay.
It's best for us financially to let them stay. And, you know, we have to also consider our reserves and what investment we want to put into the property. Mm-hmm. And then also this individual would have to look for another home. And at the time, it was just like, let's not do this.
Yes.
And I'm so glad that we made that choice because that's when the vacancy happened after.
Right,
so
after
we might have had two vacant properties,
paying
mortgages on two different places, and it just would have been a mess. So though we made this decision this time, I can't say that we'll make that decision next time, but I do think that we made the right choice.
The right choice. So Shara, what's the numbers looking like? You know what I'm saying? What how did we do for this year in real estate?
Okay. So first we'll talk about the repairs.
Mm-hmm.
So the repairs for the year totaled $3,254.
It's not too bad, man. Not too bad at all. Little knick-knack stuff. AC charge here. Sink not working here. You know, toilet backed up there. $3,000.
Yes.
Nothing major.
Nothing too major.
The vacancy repair
I have a vacancy in here.
Yeah, that was the largest
bill okay.
of that 3,000.
Okay. Okay. So that includes when the house is vacant and all of the things that needed to happen to get it ready. The next thing was the vacancy. So the one house was vacant for 2 months. And so that vacancy cost us $1,700. The next thing that I calculated was fees. So our property manager, they take, you know, 10% of the gross rent.
In Alabama.
Well, I just did a blanket.
Oh, you just did a, okay. Yeah. I like that.
We got lucky when we started and one of our property managers was at like 8%. But just to simplify the math, I just did a flat 10%. So the fees that we paid for this year was $6,228.
Okay.
And these are property management fees. Now, some folks would hear that and say, wow, $6,000, that's kind of a lot. Do I want to take on this myself?
Maybe later.
But, I mean, and of course you can, but for us, we would rather someone else do it.
Man, I'm too busy with other stuff to be managing houses too. But go ahead.
And actually, there is one expense that I forgot to include, and that was property taxes.
Ah.
Do you know that?
18.
Okay, 1800.
For one house.
Okay, so we, so as you all likely know, is that when you are, you have a mortgage on a home, usually the taxes are calculated within the mortgage.
Yes.
But since one of our houses is completely paid off, we do have to pay the tax bill. And the taxes went up, correct?
Yeah, it was around 12 when we bought the house, and now it's at 18.
Yeah. So that was a fee. And then our biggest fee was mortgage, the mortgages.
The mortgages on the home.
So we have four mortgages, and the mortgage payments range from $322 to $605. Let's pause there.
Now, y'all know that some of y'all cars in y'all driveway right now is cost you more a month than them houses. You know that. So that is part of the reason why we really wouldn't want to sell these homes or refinance the homes or do anything with the homes, because we got locked in rates on the homes that make our payments in the threes and at the absolute highest in the sixes. So I feel really blessed that we bought when we did. And it makes it hard to just keep buying now, when you know your returns won't be like that. Your spread won't be like that. Your monthly payment will not be in the threes for those same houses.
Right.
So that's just a huge blessing. So the mortgages are very manageable. I mean, we could probably pay those with our regular jobs if we didn't.
I'm not going to do that.
We ain't going to do that, but it's a blessing. All right.
Okay. So I think I started like with the bad news first, and those were just all of the fees. So I think I've covered everything. I mean, I covered repairs, vacancy. Wait, I didn't share the cost of the mortgages for the year.
Not the total, no.
Okay. So the total that we paid for those four mortgages for the year was $19,272.
Okay.
So just taking into account all of the cost to own the real estate that we do have, when we look at repairs, vacancy, mortgages, the property management fees, the taxes, that's $32,254.
Okay. So that's,
so the real question is this a profitable, thing to do when you have so much expenses?
Yes. So what do you think, Shire? What does the numbers tell us?
Okay.
Did
so
make money or lose money?
So I'll tell you the gross. That's before all of our expenses. And then I'll tell you the net or the profit. So the gross income for those properties is $62,280.
Okay.
After we subtract all of the expenses that we just reviewed, the profit for the year is $30,026.
Okay.
What's your thoughts on that?
Sounds great. Sounds incredible, but I don't know where that money went. Nah, that's good. That's That's why we do it, you know, to for that number. And what is positive about this whole thing is that once we get rid of the expenses, once we get rid of the mortgages, once maybe we get to a place where we want to start managing the properties, you're going to and you know, that net is just going to get bigger. Once the rents increase, you know what I mean? There's so many options with it that this is great, but that number is great. And I think our projections for last year was 30 plus, and we were kind of looked at each other shocked. And to actually hit that number and not have like any major repairs that would bring that number down is very positive. So that is, I'm excited to see that we actually crossed 30.
Yeah.
In profit.
Penny and I mm-hmm. don't have any intention on managing these houses. So if that's okay. something that you want to take on, then yeah. that would be up to you. But yeah, I will say like that, you know, you're paying $19,272 in mortgages. Mm-hmm. And so if we didn't have those mortgages, that's almost $20,000 addition, you know, to profit. So I look forward to having those debts paid. Of course, we're on, you know, 30-year fixed mortgage. But yes. obviously, with this type of profit, we do have the ability to reallocate dollars to paying off these mortgages faster. And just thinking about the conversation that we had with Scripps News about, is 2024 a good time to invest in real estate? Mm-hmm. It's like, well, we might have the option to do that. Or we could just focus in on mm-hmm. paying down these debts.
Yes.
And that would in turn increase our cash flow.
Exactly. So we have a lot of options. And so this makes me happy.
Yeah. And I will say that while we try to keep our finances separate, mm-hmm. we usually don't tap into real estate mm-hmm. funds. There have been times when we have.
This year was a little different. Yeah. Everything was going up. Our children's
extracurricular activities
just really got crazy this year. So yeah, we did go in there a little bit and grab a couple dollars.
You know, grab a couple dollars, or like if we want to take a vacation, we might use money from that too. So it's really your income. So you can choose how you want to use it.
Right.
Also, it does count as income. So
income, so you will be taxed on it.
Exactly. So we have our 9-to-5 jobs, but you know, this is in addition to our $9 to $5. Yes. And while there are a lot of tax benefits when it comes to real estate, it is something just for you to be aware of.
Yes.
But obviously, as we've walked through the numbers, as much as we have profited, a lot of it went to the expenses just to have them.
Right. Yeah, Shara, I think this is great to kind of do this snapshot of the real estate investing for the year. And we're hoping for as good, if not better, next year. So this is good. This is good. Now, Shara, we had some other milestones we want to let people in on.
Yes. Look, well, you hear the long
start
pause.
Here. Right, because we're looking at each other like, what do we want to say? Well, let's start here, Shara. The federal government, or whoever does this, is it IRS? Maybe it's IRS, upped the amount that you could invest in your 401k and both Roth IRA last year from, I forget where it was, but 401k, the max that you can invest this year was $22,500. And for the Roth IRA, it was, $6,500. So we wanted to push as close as we could to maxing both of those out each. Shira maxing her two out, me maxing my two out.
I don't think we hit that.
We didn't hit it on the 401, you know, but we did on our Roth IRA. We maxed those out. But what we did do this year, everyone, was we really focused in on putting money in the market consistently every month. And we didn't get to the $22,500, but I think we're at last year's max, which was $20,000 each.
I thought it was $22,500. Wait, that's this year. Okay. Somebody's going to fact check us.
We're in the 20s for how much we were able to contribute to each of our 401s, and then we both maxed out our Roth IRAs. So I said all that to say the market did well to close out the year.
Yes.
It was pretty much propped up throughout the year with the tech sector, AI, the optimism towards AI really boosted the overall stock market. And that's what we invest in. We invest in the overall stock market.
Yes, low cost index funds.
And so we both had pretty darn good years.
Yes.
Return wise and also investing wise. We were pumping money in that thing, man. So
we hit a major milestone.
This year. Before we go into that, Shari, I think it's important to do a little review.
Okay.
As to net worth. Right. Let's talk about net worth.
That's what we're talking about.
Yes. So for those of you who don't know, a little review. Net worth is your total number of worth via your assets minus your expenses or your liabilities, the things that you owe, be it home mortgages and credit cards or yes. student loans or whatever, right?
Yeah.
That's how you determine your net worth. Your
everything
net worth,
you own.
Everything you own.
Subtracted. Everything you owe.
Right. It's not how much you got in your bank. It's not nothing like that. It could be, but it's really your totality of all things you own. Your homes, your investment accounts, your personal, all that stuff. So what was our milestone, Shire? Do you want me to say it or do you want to say it?
I think you should say it.
Okay. Well, as far as net worth is concerned.
Okay. I can say it.
Go ahead, Shire.
Okay. So this year, we became the millionaire next door.
I like that. I like how you put that.
Okay. So that was our.
Yes.
That was our exciting milestone.
Yes.
And I'm happy. I mean, we did it in our mid-30s.
Okay.
And I think the biggest contributor to us hitting this milestone was our investment in real estate.
I think so, too.
Because
I have another one, too.
Especially the first two properties that we purchased, it has been a few years. And the first two properties that we purchased have doubled.
Yes.
They've doubled in their value. Mm-hmm. And the houses in Montgomery, you know, we put 20% down. So you're already going in with that 20% equity.
Yes.
And so while we haven't seen the values of those properties double just because of the area that we invested in.
Right.
We do have quite a bit of equity in those homes.
Yeah.
And so that has helped tremendously.
Right. I think that has helped. Couple other things, Shire. Our primary residence.
Yes.
When we bought it, boy, you could not tell us that. We swore up and down that we were overpaying, and we were just, we paying a whole lot of money for this thing, y'all.
I didn't know if we could afford it.
Because
we were just we were on the fence about buying a house at the time because we were living in our paid off
condo.
And we were just driving down the street and, I mean, we saw a sign.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, where are these houses? It wasn't obvious. We went through like this maze. Then we wound up in this new, nice real estate development.
Yes.
And, you know, we walked into this home and it was like, well, what do we have to do to reserve it? They were just like, oh, just give us, you know, $1,000 check to just
been 500
or it was something to just hold it.
Yes.
You know, don't cash a check, but I can give you one. Right.
And we knew we would need to sell our house. It would be like a sell then buy situation. And they were cool with that. They was like, yeah, we do those. We do those. So we
Like, and so we talked to a friend who was a realtor. House sold 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
3 days, house sold, and we were just on our way. That house selling, if you know our story, you know that we had a HELOC on that house to purchase our first real estate property.
Mm-hmm. Home equity line of credit.
Yeah, so once that house sold, it completely paid off that first home, and it was the down payment for the house that we're in right now.
Yes.
And we've been here for a few years, and the value has just, I mean, it has just
gone up like a third.
I mean, it's gone up a lot. And so that, contributed to our net worth as well, yes. greatly, significantly.
Yes.
And so
And let me say this, Shira. Mm-hmm. For anyone listening that's like, see, man, they got money. They rich and all this kind of stuff. Not so fast. Because a huge contributing factor that no one wants to talk about is not always about, oh, I got this much house or I got this much money. We also have no debt. See,
No consumer debt. Yeah.
Excuse me. Thank you, Shira. The debt-free thing we did before any of this stuff happened is a huge factor, because your net worth could be significantly higher, you the listener or you whoever, if you didn't have the consumer debt, if you didn't have the student loan, if you didn't have the credit card, if you didn't have mm-hmm. all the auto loans, right?
Right.
Your net worth goes up when those go down. So that's exactly. I got thing. That's just a I don't owe thing. And so we always neglect that. But right. I think that is vital too.
Yes.
Because if we owed more money, it doesn't matter that we own this many houses that are worth X or have this much in investing. We would still be like, we ain't there yet because we owe so much to creditors.
Right.
But because we don't, that also is a key factor.
Right. Paying off your debt is so important. And it's important enough to not overlook it, right? Yes. Especially when you're calculating your net worth. Mm-hmm. And just so for anyone who's wondering, how do we calculate, net worth as it relates to the rental property? What we did is we looked at the current market value for the house, mm-hmm. and then we subtracted the balance of our mortgage.
Yes.
And so that gave us, the equity that's in the home, mm-hmm. and that contributes to your net worth.
Yeah.
And I think the other thing is, if you have, a high net worth, it doesn't necessarily mean that you have a high amount of money in your bank account.
Yes. Let's be very clear.
I don't need anyone hitting me up. I don't have 20 you could borrow.
No.
I don't have, hey. It's, our net worth is in our assets.
Yes.
It's in real estate.
Yes.
It's in,
It's in the cloud, right?
Right. It's in the cloud, right? But yeah.
But it's a great... Shire, we have to be able to stop and pause and celebrate the progress.
Yes.
I think we don't do that enough. And we haven't really been able to do that for a few years now, because we haven't bought a rental property or we haven't paid off a debt. We've already done those things. And so you just be like, man, what am I even doing?
Like what am I working towards?
Yeah, what am I working towards? I was supposed to do this for the next 20, 30 years. But this is something to pause, celebrate, and motivate us to keep going. Hopefully motivate the listeners. Okay, they ain't just talking on the mic every week. They really been doing stuff behind the scene. And I really wanted to make a point to do not as much talking and showing and boasting and do the work. And I think mm-hmm. we're doing that by how consistent we're contributing, doing the stuff that's not fun.
It's not fun.
It's nothing about us getting to this point has been fun.
Well, I think in the beginning it's exciting, right?
Yeah.
It's exciting. But then you get into the maintenance phase mm-hmm. of your goal.
It's like working out. It's like working out. It's not nothing fun about doing push-ups and hurting your arms and your body to get the physique you want. But when you look back 6 months, you're like, okay, all right,
yes.
It's looking a little different.
And I will say, over these last couple years, we have invested until it hurt. Mm-hmm. There are times when it's just like, we broke. When you get paid?
Straight up broke.
You have to ask,
when do we get paid?
When do you get paid? But you make sacrifices mm-hmm. for what you want. Mm-hmm. And I think that social media doesn't necessarily show you the sacrifice. They want to show you the win.
Yes.
And then you get kind of caught up in that. And then you start to think, they're winning. I should be winning, and winning should look a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
When winning actually doesn't.
Yes.
Winning might mean, oh, I really need to meal plan and keep my food budget at this amount.
Yeah.
For the month.
Mm-hmm.
Being consistent in your investing.
Yep.
And finding contentment in that, right?
Yes. Man, that's so true. What sacrifices are you willing to make? You're not going to accidentally retire. Like the number you need to retire. Shout out to my father who just recently retired, and you know, not gonna put his business out there, but the number you need to retire in your 60s and you're gonna live to 90 is very significant. You need a very significant amount of money. I'll just say that. And you're not gonna get that amount of money on accident, man. You really gotta put in on that.
Yep.
Consistent, you know. So this is a great thing. We're happy. Yeah. We're kind of like, I know y'all probably like, well, why ain't y'all happy and stuff? No, we are very happy.
We're happy.
Yeah, we are very happy. So
we're happy. Yeah. Look, I'm not trying to convince myself. No, I'm happy.
But that's kind of the, anything else crazy happened this year? We're not going to get no numbers, but Shira has been promoted to close out the year.
I know. What a blessing.
She's been blessed with another J-O-B. So I think that's really dope. I'm really excited for you, Shira, on that front.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm happy for us. I'm happy for the family, right? Mm-hmm. And of course, your income impacts your ability to save and invest. And then also to just be able to do fun things. I'm looking forward to us having a little bit more spending money,
maybe able to give a little bit more, you know, man, I want to up that going in, you know, to next year. So, all that, just a little more breathing room. We're already doing what we're supposed to do.
Right.
So we're eating our fruits and vegetables. Now we can have a little junk food.
Yeah. We can have a little dessert.
You know what I'm saying?
I'm definitely excited about that. Yeah. And I'm also just excited for the folks who have been on this journey with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who have been making these sacrifices alongside of us. Mm-hmm. We might not know their name and know their story, but we know that there is a whole community of listeners who are part of this community who are doing the same, you know, and I'm excited for that and the good things that are coming their way as well.
Yes. So now we want you.
What you about to say, Marcus?
To share your wins in the comment section. If you listen to on Spotify, you can be a part of that community and you can actually share your wins for the year. It could be small, large. Maybe you paid off one of your credit cards. Maybe you were able to save X amount as an emergency savings this year. Or maybe you did something huge like bought your first property. But if you listen to Black Married Debt Free and you did something significant this year that you want to share it on Spotify in the community section where we're going to put up a poll where you can share your wins. And then, you know, we just want to get everybody hyped going into 2024. Or you can share your goals for 2024. You could also do that. We'll have a separate poll for that too. So, man, let's get it, man. It's not always the prettiest of years, you know. I don't think anything last year was like made me all happy and giddy all inside. But when you step back and you zoom out and you can see your progress, you're like, all right, yeah, I'm making some progress. Like I said, it's very similar to working out. If you're looking at your same body every day, you're like, I don't see it. But when you look at that before picture and that after picture, you're like, okay, all right, we're doing something. So thank you. Thank you for listening. Any final thoughts, Shy, to close out the year?
Those were my final thoughts. But Happy New Year, y'all.
Whenever happy New Year.
Tuning in.
Yes, Happy New Year. And we're going to holler at y'all on the next one. Peace.
Bye.